Hello and welcome to the Moonshots podcast. It's episode 251. I'm your co-host, Mike Parsons, and as always, I'm joined by Mr. Mark Pearson Freeland. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Good morning, Moonshots family, listeners, subscribers, viewers, and everybody out there who wants to learn a little bit about themselves and how to be the best version of themselves. Thank you for joining us on episode 251 of the Moonshots podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be a big podcast because two of the biggest people in our Moonshots universe, Mark, decided to get together.
Can you believe it, Mike? We have such a unique honor of presenting to our listeners and viewers and members today, like you say, a meld of two of our favorite moonshotters, Dr. Andrew Huberman and the man, the myth, the legend himself, David Goggins, who both got together and very, very conveniently covered ground and topics that you and I, as well as all our Moonshots listeners, would love to hear, to listen, to learn from. And boy, Mike, we have an action-packed, special one-off show today where those two minds have met. They've covered some incredible insights, and you and I have the joy of being able to lean in, uncover some of those insights and learnings, and share them with our listeners, subscribers, and viewers. What a day.
What a day. I mean, talk about the collisions of two worlds. One of the most resilient, determined humans on this planet. I think that's the only way to talk about David Goggins. Together with one of the most brightest, best communicators of the world of academia and science, Dr. Andrew Huberman. We've got them together jamming, creating, ideating, discussing how what you do as your mindset, how that can relate to your autonomy, your physiology. We can get down to a molecular, cellular level with Andrew Huberman, and we can embrace the greatest of challenges with David Goggins. So if you need a timely reminder why you've got to fight to grow every single day, or if you want to understand the science of the growth mindset, then this episode is for you.
Boy, oh boy, Mike, I think you have set that up perfectly. We've got an idea of those two key individuals that we're going to lean into. With your permission, I'd like to set up that first tasty clip.
Let's go.
All righty. So guys and gals, let's listen to David Goggins and Dr. Huberman talk about the journey that Mr. Goggins, who we know is a man who likes a little bit of punishment, a little bit of friction, a little bit of challenge, to say it mildly. Let's hear from Goggins himself about how passion and where passion comes from and how, in his opinion, nothing, that's right, Mike, nothing is easy.
Friction is something you're very familiar with. It's a word just as I feel like is like cast above us right now in boldface, highlighted, underlined letters. It's just
friction,
like
is growth.
Friction.
Yes.
Like you're up in the morning, and I imagine David Goggins going to the coffee maker, stretching out, good morning, sunshine. And you're telling me from eyelids open, there's friction.
Yes. And that is the thing that people don't fucking get. The biggest misunderstanding about David Goggins of all time. It's like, whether you believe in God or not, I do. He put this lab rat, which is me, on this planet and said, let me fucking see what a beat up, abused kid who can barely learn, who has a twisted body, messed up genetics, sickle cell, this and that. Let me give him everything that pretty much disqualifies you from the military. But back then, it wasn't as stressful. And let's put him in this and see what comes out of it. So to do that, friction. You don't wake up in the morning time and go to the coffee maker. Matter of fact, sometimes you don't even sleep. What it requires is when I'm at 2 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and my brain is thinking about a fucking drug, and I got to get up and look in my book to see if that drug is how I remember it. And this is every day of my fucking life. That's why when I train a fighter or I train someone, I'm like, you have no fucking idea how great you really are, because you are using such minimal of what you have. And if people can learn to focus, this is what's possible. While it may not be pretty, like people want to do a documentary on me, I go, no, I don't want you to do a documentary on me. Because I will have normal, everyday people picking me apart. on his life is miserable. Who wants to live like that? He looks, it's crazy how he, it's almost like he's sick, he's psychotic. The most frustrating thing in the world for me is when normal people judge a man like myself on what it really takes to extract greatness from nothing. It takes every bit of who you are if you choose that route.
Mark, there are so many themes inside of this. You're going to have to take control of me so I don't go too off piece here.
Oh, well, maybe it's a show on just one clip.
Yeah. You know, I think the first thing that I want to call out here is what we can learn from is Goggins is saying something really important, that if you want to pursue your own greatness, realize your potential, be the best version of yourself, then what you are saying to translate that is you're inviting friction, challenge, suffering into your life. And I think this is really important because we're presented with images of success, but rarely are we presented with the hard work and the suffering it took to achieve said success. So what happens? We go out there in the world and we're entertaining, you know, the idea of some greatness. I want to do a thing, you know, I want to have a legacy. I want to do a thing. And then all of a sudden life happens. Your health ain't great. Something happens. You smash the car. You get kicked out of your rental house. I don't know. Things happen. And then you're like, oh, I'm giving up. This is all too hard. Oh, poor me. Oh, no. The reality is what he is saying is that in order to do whatever is greatness on your own terms is, in other words, a decision for friction. Friction for hardship, for challenge. And you cannot have it. Cannot have the success without the friction. And I think that this, Mark, is where so many of us, myself, I think all of us stumble because we kind of expect a pretty rapid rise to the top. And we almost have a genetic response to hardship of, oh no, this could kill me. I'm stopping, right? We see this very clearly in sporting activities, right? But so rarely does it kill you. But we also see this when people are doing a startup and then they're like, I quit and I went back to consulting. That's too hard, too stressful.
Yeah.
When you say it was too hard or too stressful, what you're saying is I didn't really want it because I wanted the growth, but not that much because when the friction came, I was out of there in an instant. Now, here is the thing, Mark. What Goggins says, if you read his work and if you listen to him, he says, I'm not a naturally talented runner, yet he has won ultra marathons. He says he has a lot of learning difficulties. So for him to learn a piece of data, he will need to reread it way more than the average person. But he has 2 New York Times best-selling books. That is phenomenal. So what can we learn here? This is the following for me. He is prepared to do the work. So some of us may be far more talented writers than him, but we do not have a New York Times bestseller. Some of us may be better runners, but we've not even encountered an ultramarathon. The difference is his effort, and the difference is his appetite for friction. And I think, Mark, that the appetite for friction is the greatest insight you can have to unlock a better version of ourselves. What do you think?
Yeah, I see a lot of similarities, as you've already pointed out from that clip. I think this idea of greatness being defined by us is an important call out. Obviously, what makes David Goggins great and stand out might not be of interest to somebody like me, for example. So I think that that's a really important reference point. You're right. I think it's clear from the story that we hear from Goggins and Huberman in that first clip that there is no overnight success.
Right.
It isn't an Instagram ad of, you know, signing up for 2 weeks to get a six pack or a new side hustle that's going to take over your income stream overnight. All of these things are challenges, obstacles, and they take time.
Yes, sir.
You and I have covered so many entrepreneurs on the show who have gone through rounds and rounds of feedback, failures, challenges, obstacles, whatever you want to call them. And the ones that always come back and are the strongest and the ones that we end up doing shows on are the ones that keep on persevering. And I think Goggins in that clip, even though he might have learning challenges, even though he might, you know, have physical and health debilitations, he's still a person that has persisted. He's still a person that sees those obstacles and those uncomfortable moments as time for him to maybe not prove to others, but prove to himself that he can do it.
Right.
And that's such a wonderful reminder to me when I'm thinking I'm in a situation that feels a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe there's a lot of pressure. Maybe it's a big decision needs to take place. Or maybe it's as simple as it's 5 a.m. in the morning. Do I really have to go for yet another run? Whatever those small moments of feeling uncomfortable are, what I try and do based on, you know, hearing from Goggins is now to start noticing them. So when I do wake up and think, Mike, I mean, what's going on? I'm going to have to tell Mike later that I didn't do the run that I promised him I would. When I notice those moments where my body is pushing back or my mind is saying, why don't you just hit that snooze button? Nowadays, I like to remember them and notice them and think, there it is. Yeah, there's that feeling of, let's call it insecurity.
Or, yeah, sure.
It's the body block.
Yeah. And it's okay, Mark, because listen, guess what? Goggins has the same moments.
Yeah.
He's not immune. He's not superhuman. He's actually saying he gets it more than us.
Yeah.
That's why he has to fight so hard, because he's like, I have learning difficulties. I'm actually not a good natural runner. Like physically, my body's not really that well designed for running. Yet he has achieved these things through understanding this idea on the screen. Friction is growth. And I think that it's like I think what we have to do is nominate these moments when we have self-doubt and fear, where we are tempted to hit snooze, to not go for that run, or not to stay up late and send that mail that needs to be sent to keep the project on track, and say, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to even entertain giving up.
Yeah, that's it.
It is an illegal action in my life, right? You have to kind of make it contraband. You have to ban it from the system so that when the temptation comes, no.
Yeah,
but you know what's so hard, Mark, is your self-discipline. Because it's not like your partner, your wife, your husband, or your colleague jump into your mind and say, hey, Mark, it's Mike here. You should stay up late and send that email. Now, what happened? You're at 9 p.m. You're tired. You're at your laptop going, geez, I've got to finish work. I'm exhausted. And you know that email has to go. And the only person who's watching in that moment is you.
Yeah.
And when we face that challenge, we must be prepared like an athlete. I will not give up. I will not go to bed with work unfinished. I will not. I will hate myself in the morning for doing this. I will not allow myself. And when I have that feeling, I'm not going to feel guilt or this sort of almost disgust of yourself. You're going to flip it. This is a signal. Stay firm. Stay strong. Goggins would say, stay hard. Don't fold. You have to pre-program yourself not to fold. Like when I was in kilometer 40 of a 42K marathon, the thing that kept me going is I will run 42Ks. I had that as a big thing above my computer for 2 months. I will run 42Ks. I'd never done it. So when the moments came of, oh boy, maybe I just start walking a little bit because I'm exhausted, I will run 42. I will run. I gave myself no permission to do so. It was certainly not the fastest marathon ever run, but I did finish it and I did run the entire thing. My point is this. I think when we get to those moments of great challenge in the valley of darkness, we have to be pre-programmed to say, it's okay, I'm having some self-doubt, but I have decided that I will be resolute. Because if you haven't made that decision, Mark, I think what happens for us is we're like, yeah, I send the email tomorrow. Yeah, maybe I run tomorrow. Yeah. I won't sprint tomorrow when I've had some sleep, you know?
I mean, there are practical things that we've talked about on the show that can help combat those moments, like leaving your kit out overnight.
Yes.
You know, putting your shoes intentionally. And maybe that's the word. If you demonstrate intention through action, such as leaving your kit out, I'll often lay all my clothes out on the dining room table. So when I get up, I think, okay, everything's there. That's partly because my brain is a little bit foggy in the morning and maybe I'll forget my shoes or something. But actually, it's more importantly to do with mindset.
Look, let me build on that. You could tell your partner, I'm going to run 10K tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Held accountable.
Yeah, you can put it in your agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You could even do some mantras.
Yeah, big time.
Before you go to bed, I will run tomorrow. Just say it 10 times. Anything. This is all on the table. These are all options to embrace friction and to get the growth. I mean, I tell you what, hopefully signing up to be a member of the Moonshots podcast is not that much friction, Mark. What do you think?
Look, there's individuals in here who I think would agree with us that friction is indeed growth. But like you say, Mike, I hope that not a single person on this list has ever found the Moonshots family one of those moments of friction. Instead, I hope we're more like a nice, warm bubble bath. However, as usual, Mike, I'm delaying the inevitable, which is really high-fiving and celebrating all of our members. So please, without further ado, welcome in Bob, Ken, Dietmar, Marjan, Connor, Rodrigo, Lisa, and Sid, Mr. Bonjour, Paul, Berg, and Kalman, Joe, Christian, Samuela, and Barbara, Andre, Chris, Deborah, Lasse, Steve, Craig, Daniel, and Andrew, Ravi, Yvette, Karen and Raul, Nicoara, Ingram, Dirk and Harry, Venkata, Marco, Jet and Roger, Steph, Gabia, Roar and Nimelen. Mike, there's definitely a few people who have snuck in across that annual membership there. I believe it'll be Nimelen, Roar and Gabia who have probably gone over the annual membership. So guys, high five and thank you so much for your continued support. Now, hot on those heels includes James, Diana, Wade and Christoph, Denise, Laura, Smitty, Corey, Gayla, Bertram, Daniela and Mike, Dan, Antonio, Zachary, Austin, Fred and Lorenz, Ola, Andy, Diana and Margie, our brand new member. Welcome, Margie, to the Moonshots family. Thank you so much for your support and celebration of the show.
Yep, and remember this, team. If you're listening and you want to add your support to us to produce all of the content that we do, head over to moonshots.io, click on the big members button, go crazy. It's literally the price of one cup of coffee. Actually, with inflation these days, this is like not even a cup of coffee a month.
Yeah.
you can be a member of the Moonshots podcast. You get a whole separate podcast, the Master Series podcast. Yeah. So check it all out, moonshots.io. And as you consider this, what you can know is that whilst you're part of a community of people that are embracing the friction, in the end, the biggest battle will be against yourself, Mark.
That's right, Mike. So look, let's get into a little bit more of David Goggins, who's having a chat with Dr. Huberman now about accountability and how every day it's always going to be you versus you.
But I figured something out. That's why you'll never hear me say I'm missing something. I found it years ago. You find it in the suck. You find it in the suck, and you find it repeatedly in the suck to the point where you know exactly who you are. Most people are missing something because they don't know who they are. They never examine themselves. They've never done this experiment on themselves. The lab rat, we're all lab rats, but you're also the scientist. You create your own self. Most people are missing something because there's so much trapped in there. I don't even want to say potential. I think that's word used out too much too. There's so much in you that God or whoever the hell you believe in, or if you're an atheist, in you that you have not unlocked, that you walk around with this gorgeous wife or great husband, and all this money. You're like, God, I feel like I'm missing something. Yeah, because it's about 75% of you is still fucking in there, still chained up, because you just didn't want to find your willpower, didn't want to find your soul, your will, your heart, your determination, your guts, your courage. And what that looks like, it looks scary, like your little scary lab I went in. Scary to wake up every day and say, I'm stupid, but I want to figure out a way to be smarter. Versus saying, man, I just can't do that. So you limit this box. So your box becomes so small of things you can do. My box wasn't even a box. It was a fucking little, like, little pinhole. And then through examining myself, getting some willpower, some courage, it became bigger than this table. But that's what we all do. That's why I wanted to come here today and talk to you about real shit. Not no fucking, like, hacks. There's no hacks, bro. It's you against you. You against you. And if you misunderstand that, you have a real problem.
Oh, boy. Goggins delivering hard truths. Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Poor, on that one.
Poor Huberman's probably at the back of the stage like, ah! Okay. So this one, it's you against you. I mean, this takes me straight back to the analogy that I was using on the previous clip, which is it's 9 o'clock at night. Everyone else is checked out and you've still got work to do. Do you stay another 15 minutes and write that email? Or alternatively, Mark, it's 6 a.m. and the alarm is going off. Are you hitting snooze? Right? Chances are not even your partner sleeping next to you knows the decision that you are making. So in that moment when the alarm is going off and you see snooze, ooh, how tempting. It is you versus you, because you can get away with it. No one's going to know. Maybe the cat, the dog, maybe your partner knows, right? But the reality is no one knows, right?
No.
And that is where everything happens. Like if you take on board what Goggins is saying here, is don't blame, don't go looking for things that you think you're entitled to. You need to be prepared to own this moment. The alarm's going off. Am I getting out of bed or am I hitting snooze? And that battle is with yourself, and that's okay. Even if you feel like, oh, I could really do with an extra 15, that's okay to have that thought, but it's your response. And that response is a choice. If you listen to what he said there, he said, like, you look at an academic subject and you're like, I really don't get that. You can say, but I'm going to learn. And if it takes five times, six times, seven times, 10 times, you're going to learn. Now, what you see is people do make self-limiting beliefs. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's not me. But what he's saying, that is saying that you've lost the battle against yourself.
Yeah.
I too, like Goggins, I don't think I am physically a natural runner. I would say you, Mark, physically are a much better setup as a runner than I am. I'm just too chunky, right? I'm just too heavy-footed, right? I got like more of a rugby body rather than a marathon body, right? Now, here's the thing, though. I'm quite okay with that. I have accepted that, and I still run, and I still like to challenge myself. Am I going to get, like, the record at my next run? No, but I'm going to do it, and I'll feel good, and that's a choice. And that battle in that moment, when I finish that line, that is a battle against myself more than anything. If it's raining, I'm not fighting the rain. I'm fighting my choice to continue in the rain. That's what I'm really fighting. Don't you think like this is like all of a sudden when you present it like this, great obstacles or fears, they change. It's like almost a game.
Yeah.
No, like it's just me versus me and I'm going to overcome that, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, similar in a certain way to your 40-kilometer moment in the marathon where you have to really dig in deep. I remember having that within a 5 kilometer swim. And it was probably, you know, 75, 80% through the swim. I think maybe the 4 kilometer mark, maybe 4.5. And I remember thinking, oh, I think I'm cold and I think I might get out. I'm probably going to have to, you know, get a life person to, you know, a surf life-saving person to come and save me, the guy on the jet ski. I'm just about to swim past him. Yeah, I think the conditions weren't right for me today. And then you sit there and I was swimming and I was thinking, but hang on, everybody else can. Why can't I do it? I've been doing it for 4.5 kilometers already. And that demonstrated to me, my body and my mind was looking for an excuse and a reason to stop. Rather than continuing that moment of discomfort. And to be honest, it was probably uncomfortable for 1.5 hours, but it chose at that time towards the end saying, you know, I think this is it. And just that little bit further, by the time I got out, I thought, what was I being so dramatic about? Exactly. And you're right, Mike, similar to snoozing the alarm. At the end of the day, you can't talk when you're swimming. Nobody else knew how I was feeling. It was only me and my mind, yes, and my monkey mind, perhaps,
yes,
that was playing around with me, thinking, oh, you know, I don't think I really like this. But actually, I look back at it, and it's one of the things I'm super proud of outside of career, because yes, I made sure I got it done. And what I really enjoy about Goggins in that clip, and quite similar to the one that we heard in the first one, was this idea of willpower, maybe satisfaction, drive, motivation, strength, however you want to dress it up. Those are the words that come to my mind when I hear Goggins describing that sort of insight. Opening that box and understanding that unless you lean into those difficulties, you don't really know how you're going to respond to them. You know, for example, you with your running, me with my swimming, it's something that neither of us, you know, were necessarily raised in, but instead we've both given it a go. And actually we found out a lot about ourselves through being uncomfortable, yes, in those physical moments, right?
Absolutely.
Suddenly, I agree with Goggins. My concept of what I could deal with, how I react to things, instantly got much, much wider. And what came with that was an ability to not only feel confident in the strength or the situation where I was, so for example, swimming, but it also had this knock-on effect for me, Mike, and let me know if this is true with your marathon, made me feel more confident in other aspects of my life that I was doing too.
Big time.
So the idea of finishing that swim, yeah, I thought, hey, I now question other things that maybe I've given up in the past. Maybe I could have pushed a little bit harder, or maybe I should have maintained a little bit further. And that is just a great demonstration that you can go beyond what you think is actually possible. You've always got that little bit more. And as Goggins is saying, if he was just that little pinprick in you know, his concept of understanding himself, and he grew to a table-sized awareness, that's kind of how I felt when I was going through those difficult moments, Mike. Is that pretty similar to what you found with the marathon?
Absolutely, because I remember being totally awestruck for the first time I ran 10K. Then 14, and then I run around this beautiful I would almost call it inlet, like Sydney Harbour Inlet, which is 7K round trip. So I remember doing 7K, good, then 14, then 21, then 28, then 35, and each time you're like, whoa. And to your point, when you realize what Goggins was talking about, there's so much more in you. If you look at it sort of skeptically, if I'd sat down with myself before I started running and said, you could run 14K, I'd say, no way. But then as you start chipping away at it, actually, yes way. And it's not only with your running, but then you can take that into other parts of your life. And then you develop a mechanism where you're like, oh, I'm going to try a thing. I'll probably do really bad at the start, but that's okay. I know that's part of the journey and I'm comfortable with that. Massive lesson from the Goggins. And it is so the growth mindset. It is so the moonshots mindset. It is totally how we think from studying so many people that this is the pattern. People who have done great things are exactly the same for us. However, the key thing is, they grew comfortable being uncomfortable. They were prepared to push through the challenge and keep on going rather than at the beginning or the middle going, too hard, hurting, can't do it.
Yeah.
I think I'm failing. It's really embarrassing. I'm going to stop. They just kept going.
Yeah.
And to this day, Goggins is like, I have to fight every day. And that is a message. Mm. Goggins needs to fight every day. So do we. And if you're fighting every day, I would say to our members, to our listeners, and to our viewers, head over to moonshots.io. There are so many goodies to help you fight the good fight, to keep going, to have that moonshots mindset, to have that Goggins and Huberman mindset. It's all there, moonshots.io.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mike. And we're so pleased when we do hear from our members and our listeners. Every time you leave us a review, send us email, we're always at the other end. And we're so pleased and keen, as well as inspired, whenever we hear from our listeners. So please, thank you very much, Maya, from United States, USA, for leaving us a great review. We're so pleased to hear that the podcast is uplifting and inspiring, and the hosts treat each episode with intelligence, curiosity, and depth. We're really pleased that that's coming through. We really do find each individual, each topic, each book, each theme of every single show very inspiring. We're always sparked by curiosity, and we love to go deep as much we can in every single facet. And like David Goggins says in that previous clip, Mike, there are no hacks. There's rarely any shortcuts. So correct. What you have to do, you just got to do the time. But if you can find the time really enjoyable, it's going to be a lot more fun.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Where do we go now in this journey into Huberman meets Goggins?
Well, look, we've certainly heard from Goggins around the idea of difficulties, challenges, now the accountability angle. Let's hear now a little bit more from the scientific angle from Dr. Huberman, Andrew Huberman this time, who's going to help us understand a little bit more about this unique, quite awe-inspiring concept, Mike, about willpower and how we shouldn't only ever do what we want to do.
Most people don't know this, but there's a brain structure called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. As we pointed out before, that's a noun, it's a name, it doesn't mean anything. Right. We could call it the cookie monster.
Right.
But what's interesting about this brain area is there are now a lot of data in humans, not some mouse study, showing that when people do something they don't want to do, like add 3 hours of exercise per day or per week, or when people who are trying to diet and lose weight resist eating something.
Right.
When people do anything that they, and this is the important part, that they don't want to do.
Right.
It's not about adding more work. It's about adding more work that you don't want to do.
Yes.
This brain area gets bigger.
Yep.
Now, here's what's especially interesting about this brain area to me. And by the way, I'm only learning this recently because it's new data, but there's a lot of it. The anterior mid-cingulate cortex is smaller in obese people. Mm-hmm. It gets bigger when they diet. Mm-hmm. It's larger in athletes. Mm-hmm. It's especially large or grows larger in people that see themselves as challenged and overcome some challenge.
Right.
And in people that live a very long time, this area keeps its size. In many ways, scientists are starting to think of the anterior mid-cingulate cortex not just as one of the seats of willpower,
right,
but perhaps actually the seat of the will to live.
See, now we're talking.
And when I learned about the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, I was like almost out of my seat. And I've been in the neuroscience game since I was 20.
Nah, we're
the same
talking.
Age. And I was so pumped because I've heard of the amygdala, fear, prefrontal cortex, it's planning and action. I could tell you every brain area and every, I teach neuroanatomy to medical students. But when I started seeing the data on the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, I was like, whoa, this is interesting.
Yep.
And all the data point to the fact that we can build this area up, but that as quickly as we build it up, if we don't continue to invest in things that are hard for us, that we don't want to do, that's the part that feels so Goggin-esque to me, that we don't want to do. Like if you love the ice bath, I love the ice bath, and you go from 1 minute to 10 minutes, guess what? Your anterior mid-cingulate cortex did not grow.
None.
But if you hate the cold water, if you're afraid of drowning and you get into water and put your head under, then your anterior mid and survive, then the anterior mid-cingulate cortex gets bigger. But if you don't do it the next day, or if you do it the next day and you enjoy it, because hey, I did it yesterday, woohoo, happy me, Merry Christmas, as you would say.
Merry Christmas.
Guess what? The anterior mid-cingulate cortex shrinks again.
Yep.
To me, this is one of the most important discoveries that neuroscience has ever made. Mm-hmm. Because it's that I don't want to do something, but do it anyway.
That's right.
That grows this area. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I have a friend, he's been sober 30 years from alcohol. Mm-hmm. And he always says, you know, the amazing thing about addiction is there's a cure. The problem is it only works one day at a time.
Yep.
And so you have to renew it every day.
That's right.
So the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, to me, when I learned about it, two things went off in my head. Whoa, this is super interesting. And two, I got to tell David Goggins about this. And I waited until to tell you because I felt like for obvious reasons, I wanted to tell you and I wanted to tell you here.
Well, I love that because that's how I've lived my entire life. I don't know anything about that. But people go, man, you have such a strong will. It's something that you build. Like, I never forget, I was on a podcast one time, and this dude goes, you were blessed with a strong mind. Like, the hell are you talking about? I was blessed with a strong mind. That's something that you have to develop.
And that is the truth, Mark. This idea of continually working on any characteristic, right? Nobody gets there on talent alone. But let's just go back to what Huberman was saying. The anterior mid-cingular cortex, what a mouthful. They could work on the branding of that.
I know.
But significantly, it is the muscle in the brain that gives you the will to live. And what you would deduce that if it expands when you do things you don't like, this to me is the scientific logic that hardship and suffering and challenge is essential because your body responds positively to it.
Yeah.
If it was not meant to be, Mark, then the body would have an allergic reaction to it. It's just bad warning. This will kill you.
Yeah.
But actually, you're getting stronger and more resilient, but only if you keep doing things that you don't wish to do. And this, for me, is so crucial that a life of satisfaction and fulfillment, of joy, is about the hard work every day so that you do get across the finish line, that you do achieve those big things, whether it's in a day or a big thing every year. It is only through doing things you don't like. Getting up at 6 a.m. on the weekend, going to bed and not watching another episode of Netflix so you don't press snooze in the morning.
Yeah.
This is the evidence that life is the greatest competitor. Hardship is a natural part of life. So therefore, rather than resent hardship and misfortune, you must embrace it. And as Jaco Willink says, problems, good.
I mean, look, he would clearly be pleased to hear this scientific data, as maybe all of us are. Mike, when I hear that clip, I think there's some of us who might be thinking, oh, no, that's not what I want to hear. I don't want to have to seek out and really expose myself to these difficult moments each day because they're not always fun. What I think is really interesting about this idea is the fact that, and you know, I think Andrew was alluding to it later in that clip, is the fact that you can get through it once you've started to build that resilience and that drive to go out and actually actively seek out or at least acknowledge those moments of real discomfort. To say that a little bit differently, what I think is quite reassuring is that once I have started to, let's say, notice my patterns, as we were referring to earlier, of looking out the window, it's getting a little bit darker here in Australia in the mornings now, the time hasn't changed. So it's still quite dark before, you know, 6 or so a.m. And I'm looking outside thinking, oh, do I really want to go for a run? Knowing that I am the only one, as we've heard in the show already, that's accountable to this. But also knowing that everybody else is going to be finding it just as hard. And knowing that if I give that little bit of a go, I'll find it that little bit easier the next time.
Yeah.
Or better said, I might even have the chance of extending my life, giving the power, my willpower to live longer and healthier. I mean, my when I heard this clip for the first time, it really was a penny drop moment. I really did think this is why I think Mike and I and the Moonshots members are so interested in this idea of resilience and hardship and the fact that there are no shortcuts. We're now seeing the science that's kind of behind the insight of seeking out the discomfort in order to become stronger, to become better, to become more interested and maybe even adventurous. I find it intimidating, but at the same time, very, very motivating. Because now, like I said earlier in the show, when I do notice those moments when I'm kicking back a little bit and I don't really want to go out and do something, I'll think, you know what? It's good for me, though. It's good for my brain. Hang on, I've got to have to look at my notes, Mike. And the anterior mid-cingular cortex.
Cortex, yeah.
Knowing that that might have a good benefit now, it suddenly maybe feels that a little bit easier. What do you think?
I think that if you want to motivate yourself to an even higher level, and this is like the dark secret, the truth is hardly anyone is getting up at 6. The truth is most people are hitting snooze. The truth is most people have no idea about the potential that is within them. So if you really need that extra nudge, when you're getting up at 6 to go for a run, when you're staying up late to send that email because you want this business to succeed, you want this team to do well, know this. Most people do not have the strength and courage to do so. So you know that weird feeling when you get up really early in the morning and you're working? I'm like,
oh yeah.
There's probably only 100 people in the whole of Australia up at this time working. I got a head start on 27 million people. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Let's go. And that to me is the other thing here. Like if you choose to step into the arena and do the work, you don't have to worry about the outcome because look, let's be honest. I am always amazed in a work environment how people will come up with excuses for not delivering. And I'm like, I'm going to get this thing across the line. And I'm prepared to take some serious hits to get this across the line because I know how friggin' good it feels to get something across the line. And people go, wow, that's a good thing. Love that product. Love that marketing campaign. Love that content.
Yeah.
I know what that feels like. So this is what I'm fighting for. That's how I kind of process it. Like, fight hard because so few people do, Mark. So few people are prepared to do the work.
And the truth is, Mike, sometimes when I look back at projects or moments, like we've been reflecting on today, moments in my life where I've had to dig deep, when I look back at them and reflect on them, I'm proud of myself. And it does give me confidence as well as inspiration to go out and try something new.
Yeah.
So suddenly the world that might have had barriers around it, invisible barriers, oh, I'll never be able to swim that distance or I'll never be able to run a marathon. Who said you won't be able to? It's only you. So once you start exposing yourself and finding enjoyment, let's call it, or maybe enjoyment's the wrong word, the ability to succeed, the ability to power through it. Once you start doing that, I think your world suddenly opens up a little bit more and you start thinking, well, what else can I give a go? And when I'm reflecting on topics like Daniel Pink's Power of Regret, a lot of those regrets that he found in studies with Americans was, I wish I tried a little bit more unusual areas. I wish I'd leaned into something a little bit more. It was always things that they hadn't done as opposed to things that they had. Yeah. I think Mike today is the hack, if you want to call it that, to actually achieving the things that you've always dreamed of doing. Just go out and give it a go.
And once you start giving it a go, you get stronger, like it we've talked about with running and many other activities. So this last idea that we've got for the show is that this is not a God-given trait. This is not a question of I either have it or I don't. This is a question of are you prepared to work on it and build on it? And I think we've got some good news for people, right?
Yeah, good news, Mike. Although bad news, we're reaching the end of our show today. But the good news for all of our listeners and our members is Hooverman's about to close out the show with the reassurance that inner strength can be built.
This structure, anterior mid-cingulate cortex, has inputs and outputs from a bunch of places, but you'll probably not be surprised to learn that it's strongly activated when we move our body, mm-hmm. when we don't want to move our body. I feel like it's Jesus. Like the David Goggins structure, right?
It really is.
It is. And it also has strong connections to the dopamine reward pathway. Mm-hmm. And everyone goes, yay, dopamine reward. Everyone loves dopamine. Mm-hmm. I'm partially responsible for people knowing a bit more about dopamine. Mm-hmm. But dopamine's badly understood. Everyone thinks dopamine hits. It's about reward. It's about motivation and drive. And there are pain inputs to the dopamine centers of the brain. No one talks about that. Everyone's like, oh, you want the chocolate, you know, chocolate, sex, cocaine. All that. Yeah, that's all true.
Right.
You release dopamine. Pain releases dopamine. The anterior mid-cingulate cortex can trigger the release of dopamine in response to this thing that we're calling friction. And that's a learned thing. That's something that no animal or human being comes into the world learning. We all are averse to pain mm-hmm. and like pleasure, like sugar, fat, don't like hot surfaces.
Right.
But this is a structure that learns. Mm-hmm. It has neuroplasticity, the ability to change throughout the entire lifespan. And here's the part that I think, again, this is just neuro nerd speak for what you already know and have done and exemplify, is that it. People say, oh, it has plasticity, you can change it. But guess what? It has plasticity in both directions. It can grow, but just as easily as it can grow, it's like silly putty, it can shrink.
Right.
So it requires constant upkeep.
Right.
And that answer isn't one that people are going to like.
Nope.
They're like, give me the energy drink, give me the supplement, give me the sauna protocol that's going to make my anterior mid-cingulate cortex. Someone out there right now is going, wait, if I took transcranial magnetic stimulation and I stimulate, you'd probably, actually they've done that. They've stuck a little wire during neurosurgery into this structure. This is actually discovered by a colleague of mine, Joe Parvizi. Stimulate, and the patients go, I feel like there's a storm coming. And they go, oh, is it scary? And they go, no, I want to go through it. They come off the stimulation and people are like, this is the seat of what we're talking about.
Right, exactly.
And it learns. So the fact that you've kept this brain structure, I'm convinced if we imaged your brain, it'd be large and it would be larger in 2 years, a year. But this is the no days off rationale.
No days off. Woo! I so agree with this because, you know, this is a big theme. Like you start cutting corners on your run program, diminishing returns. Yeah. You skip a couple of days at the gym, it starts to catch up with you. And it comes down to this logic. If you're not fighting for something, if you're not pushing forward for something you believe in, if you're not challenging yourself, then I think you're actually going backwards. Goggins has talked about this, but it's also very connected to purpose. I believe that this is all in service of doing things you believe in, because then you're prepared to fight for them. You're prepared to do the extra yards, right? Above and beyond. Mike, when you hear no days off, maybe a younger version of you was probably like, that's just crazy talk. But in our geriatric years, Mark, I think it's making a lot more sense.
the slightly more sun-beaten, weathered version. I think it's unsurprising to me that there is such a pushback. And I remember, as you say, Mike, if I had heard this maybe even a few years ago, I would have thought, I'm not sure what the return would be. Is it really worth me getting that uncomfortable when I can easily seek out a very comfortable life? What I am now appreciating, having been through moments that do feel a little bit more challenging, a little bit more like I'm pushed to the edge of my comfort zone, and maybe even to an extent where I think, hey, this kind of feels a little bit like I'm not really sure how to react here, you know, very unknown, are the moments that I really feel like I've grown and I've matured and I've got a better insight into not only how I respond, but also how other people respond. It's a great way, as you would have seen when you've done your marathon, like I'm sure there were all sorts of people from all walks of life, all doing the same experience. And that shared experience, they only got to because of the same discipline that you had. You know, some people might find it easy, but I think the majority of people, like David Goggins included, find it really, really challenging. So when I hear this clip, when I've heard all of those references and insights today, there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, that certainly sounds familiar. But there's the part of me also that thinks, hey, I kind of want to go out and find the next really difficult thing, because now I'm inspired to go out and really celebrate those moments that feel dangerous, uncomfortable, like I just want to hit the snooze button, because now by the sounds of it, it's going to be good for me. Not only because, as you and I know, we want to get better each day, but now from a scientific point of view, it's proven as well. It's the moonshots model, isn't it?
It really is.
Moonshots.
So I guess the big question I have for you, we've talked about friction is growth, to get into the suck, to do something that you don't want to do, and no days off. Out of all of those topics, what's the homework assignment for you?
Look, I think consistency day in, day out is very in line with the expectation that I would have from like a physicality exercise perspective. So for me, when I'm thinking about my brain, my mindset, I'm leaning in towards this, do something that's really uncomfortable as much as you can. Lean into this cortex. And I want to get curious about that a little bit more. So my homework, Mike, is really dig into this anterior mid-cingulate cortex and see how else I can start to grow it. What's the homework assignment from your side?
Oh, I definitely like this idea of doing things that you don't want to do. And it definitely understanding that better and understanding how I can implement that as broadly as possible, because I think it's an attitude thing. If I'm better at saying whenever I face these things that I know that it's in service of something bigger and I just train myself to think like that, then that might give me a bit of a head start. You know what I mean?
I do. That's it. It's training. Totally. You know, this is the marathon of life.
Indeed. Indeed. No days off. Well, Mark, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you to you. Thank you to our listeners, our viewers, and of course, our members too. Here on show 251, where worlds collided with Andrew Huberman and David Goggins. And we learned four big ideas. Nothing is easy. It's a battle of you, against you, and with you. And thirdly, don't just do what you want to do, but go out and do the things that are truly hard, because that's where you get the growth. That's where you get, and wait for it, the anterior mid-cingular cortex going. Do that, work on that every single day, and you can build inner strength. No matter where you start from, you can be the best version of yourself, and you can do that here. You can learn out loud with us here on the Moonshots Podcast. That's a wrap.